chapter 6. This is a good time to be here looking at this particular chapter. The whole Gospel of John is just wonderful. This particular chapter is so very powerful, so very clear, very revealing. It's urgent. It proves the true people of God from those who are not. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ, they were spoken to a multitude. Our Lord spoke to many, perhaps as many as 1,000 or more. And look at verse 66, John, at the end of his words, after he said all that he did, verse 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples, or those who appeared to be, went back and walked no more with him. So that's how revealing this is. That's how proving this is. Everything he says here proved his true disciples from the false, separated. That's what he said, I came to do, to come to put man at variance. But now, his true disciples, look at verse 68, Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? When he asked, will you also go away? He said, to whom? Where? Why? What would we? Peter, from the depth of his heart, is saying, you're my life. Everything you say, I hang on it. I was dead when you found me and you gave me life, and now you are my life. That's what he's saying. And our Lord said this, and here's how you know if you're chosen. This is how you know. The scripture says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Well, how could you know you're one of the elect? If you can say, like Simon Peter, I can't go, I can't leave, I don't want to, and I can't. You're my life. Your words are my life. And our Lord said in verse 70, have not I chosen you? That's why. Oh, may we find that we are chosen. May we find ourselves in Christ, chosen and found in Him. And that these words are our life, our meat, our bread. Look at verse 26. Here's where we begin. Verse 26, he said to a multitude that followed him, verily, verily, I say unto you. Our Lord said verily often. Verily means this is true. This is firm. This is absolute. It's actually the word amen. It's the same word as amen. Amen, amen. Christ is even called the amen in the Revelation, isn't he? Those of you who know that word. He's called the amen, the true one. Everything he says is true. And he said, truly, truly, I say unto you. He said this twice throughout the Gospel of John, for emphasis. Look at what he says here in verse 26, to many. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracle. Now, he already upbraided and rebuked many whom he said, you follow me because of the miracles. Curiosity seekers, and you want to see something. You want to see something fantastic. Or witness a miracle. He says to this group, you sought seek me not because you saw the miracle, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Now, he had just fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And he said to them in rebuke, he said, you're following me for what you can get out of me. Boy, isn't that so many, if not most, professing Christians today? Is it not? Many want to see something, want to see some fantastic thing. don't come to see Christ's glory. Many come because they want the benefits that come with being religious. They want the benefits. They want religion for gain, that is. They want the blessing. True worshipers, Paul said, true worshipers worship God in spirit. I mean, they come to the house of worship, the house of God, to worship God, to praise Him from a heart that's thankful and grateful, and a heart that's received mercy and grace. They come to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. They come to see Christ, see His glory, to hear His word, to hang on His word, the words of life. And they have no confidence in the flesh. They don't want anything to do with the flesh. And our Lord said, labor not, verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth. And most do that. Most are going after and hungering and thirsting for what our Lord said, perishing things, the things of this world, perishing things of clay, born but for one brief day. Pass from my heart away. May the Lord Jesus be mine and all my desire. He said the meat of this world, the things of this world don't satisfy. Meat being something that really fills you up. Look at verse 55. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my... verse 55. He says, my flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. Do you understand? Do you understand what he just said? You must. This is life. our Lord said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in it. You don't have life. He that hath the Son hath life. Do you understand what that meant? That his meat, his flesh and his blood is meat indeed and his drink indeed. Do you understand that? Do you hunger and thirst for that? This sets apart the true from the false. He said to thousands, he said, you follow me for what you can get out of it. Or to others, he said, you follow me because of what you see. It's all, glorious and it's just wonderful. You feel good, religion and all that. It's just wonderful. But the true disciples of Christ want and desire and feed on Christ and Him crucified. All right? Much is going to be said about bread. Our Lord spends nearly this whole chapter talking about bread. He just said to thousands, you follow me because of the loaves. And now He's going to tell them what true bread is. And this will prove us. This was so enlightening to me. As many times as I've heard this preached from and tried to myself, still, I learn a great deal here. Many at one time believed in Him. That's what it says over in chapter 4, I believe it is. Chapter 3. But He did not commit Himself to them. He said in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me. And remember, not long ago, we saw the difference between believing in Him, just believing in Him, and believing on Him, casting your all on Him, like calling on Him as one. You're desperate and you need Him. It's like laying hold of something on Him, not just believing in Him, but on Him. Verse 40. He said, this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone that would seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. Verse 47. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Kind of like eating food, isn't it? You may believe the food's good for you. You may believe it's nutritious. You may believe... that's food. You don't believe until you eat it. And that is a sign of life. It's a sign of health. It's blessed are they, our Lord said in beginning his preaching, he said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. What righteousness? Well, people all over the world want to be religious. Minnie and I were passing by the Catholic place again today. We always have to, and it's just full. Parking lot's just full. And I said to her, how? How can people sit and listen to that and go to that? Why? What do they find in that? I know you've seen some of that on TV or whatever. They go through all this hocus pocus, dominocus, and they don't do anything or say anything. People go and sit, supposedly intelligent people, wise men after the flesh, mighty noble, go to sit and listen to what? And we both concluded why they do that is it makes them feel good. And it's their righteousness. It's their religion. It's their acceptance with God. We go through this. They're born in that. They need to keep up this appearance. They need to keep up their appearance. And that's how you get to heaven. That's their righteousness. When our Lord said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, he's talking about himself. Himself. Oh my. Verse 64. Look down here. He said, there's some of you that believe not. Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. Because the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. How does he know? He elected them. He chose them. That's the last thing he said, didn't it, to his disciple. They couldn't go away. And they were following him. They left the world. They left the meat that perished. They left their homes and families and their livelihood and their boats and their nets and all that that once was everything to them that they labored for. They left all those things they labored for to follow him. Why? Now they have life. Now they have a hunger and thirst for Christ himself. He is their life now. And our Lord said, that's because I've chosen you. Because I've given you life. Now the foundation of God standeth sure. So I hope through this we all, everyone in here, might examine ourselves to see if we be of the faith. And the faith being Christ. The faith being we worship the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. All right? Look at verse 30. They said, show us a sign. And we've already been through these verses, but show us a sign that we might believe thee. What sign showest thou that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Remember what our Lord said about sign seekers? Remember what he said about those that seek after signs? Isn't that religion today? Huh? The whole world, you know, is getting more and more Pentecostal, charismatic, aren't they? Religion. It's true. Why? It's flesh. It's flesh. We witnessed a bunch of flesh, didn't we, John and Irene? Tom, Ron, Tim. Flesh. Outward show. Feel good religion. My, my. Flesh, flesh, flesh. They said, show us a sign. The sign, the only sign our Lord said that would be given was what? You remember? Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man must be in the heart of Christ, crucified, buried, and risen again. This is the sign. And this is what we want to see. If we want to see a sign, this is it. This is it. He said in verse 31, they said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. Manna, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And our Lord said, verily, verily, truly, truly, Moses gave you not that bread. And I went back and looked it up, and Moses himself said of the manna, this is the bread the Lord has given you. And yet they turned it in like everything else. The Lord's Passover had turned into the Jews' Passover. And this bread, they said, Moses gave us that bread. Moses didn't give you that bread. Moses gave you not that bread, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. The true bread, my Father. Now, here's something significant. He didn't say, your Father. Did he? He never did here. Now's the time. If it's like false religion says, that God is the Father of all, God loves everyone, and Christ wants to save them, now's the time for him to tell them, and there's thousands of people here. Tell them. He said, my Father. Over in John 8, I was going to take you there, but he said in John 8, he said, if God were your Father, you would love me. You would hear me. You would come to me. I would be your all. If God were your Father, but he says he's not. He never did say that. Sermon on the Mount, he did. Said, your Father. Who's he talking to? His disciples. And one of the last things he said to his disciples when he rose from the grave, he said, go tell my disciples that I go to my Father and your Father. He didn't say that to everybody. He said, my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And he calls himself the true bread. Bread from heaven, true bread, real bread. Verse 33, the bread of God. Verse 35, the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. And verse 48, I am that bread of life. Verse 41, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Bread from heaven. Verse 51, I am the living bread. He keeps talking about bread. Why so much talk about bread? Because this proves the true people of God. Go back to Exodus 16 with me, and let's look at this manna briefly. Exodus 16. This was such a blessing and so revealing. So very revealing. Exodus 16. Amazing words. Now, in John 6, it says they began to murmur at him. But listen to me. This is God's word, and no doubt about it. They began to murmur at him because he said, I'm the bread come down from heaven. They murmured. All right, read it with me in Exodus 16. Exodus 16, they took their journey from Elam, the whole congregation. Verse 2, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured. They started murmuring. And they all said, would to God we died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. We had flesh pots. Flesh in Egypt. That's where we just want to die. He brought us into the wilderness to kill us. Verse 4. So the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven. I will rain bread from heaven to you. In verse 9. The Lord spake unto Aaron, Moses spake unto Aaron, saying, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord. He hath heard your murmurings. You know John 6. They began to murmur. And right after they murmured, he said, why do you murmur among yourselves? No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent him. Is this the word of God or what? Or what? Amazing. Amazing. See, I've heard your murmuring. Come near to me. Come near. He's heard your murmuring. Verse 10, it came to pass as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation, the children of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness. Behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Christ is all of this. He is all of it. The Lord spake unto, verse 14, go down there. So the next day when the dew was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing. as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. It lay on the ground, a small round thing. In verse 15, when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "What is it?" Or manna, the Hebrew word. Manna. What is it? And Moses said, here's what he said, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." This is what you're going to eat. This is what you're going to live on all your days through this wilderness. This is the bread that you're going to live on. Bread from heaven. They said, "What is it? This is amazing." Manna. And it says down in verse 18, they did meet it with an omer, that is, measure it with an omer. He that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Those that were hungry, those that had need, they gathered. Those that were hungry, those that had need, they gathered every day. And they ate it. And they all were filled. Nobody lacked anything. It was perfect, filling, complete food. They didn't need anything else except that water out of the rock. And they gathered it. They ate it. And look down at verse 31. The house of Israel called the name manna, and it was like coriander seed. It was white. It was round. A mysterious thing. It tasted like wafers made with honey. It was sweet to their taste. What is this? Christ said, "It is me. I'm the true bread. I'm the true bread. I'm the true bread." Well, every morning, you know, we're told to ask the Lord, "Give us this day our daily bread." Our daily bread. And that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's Christ, the Word of God. And this was done to prove them. To prove them. That's what the Lord said. "I'm going to do this to prove every one of you. Every one of you." And they did it for 35 years. Verse 35. I don't know why I can't find that verse. Where it says, "I did this thing to prove them." If you see it, holler at me. That's the most important verse here. And I didn't write it down. Yeah, it's there. Believe me. But anyway. So he did this to prove them. And verse 35, they did it for 40 years. 40 years. All right, go with me to Numbers 21. The book of Numbers 21. We'll close with it. Numbers 21. Our Lord said, "I am the true bread." That holy thing, that's what the angel said to Mary, wasn't it? When Christ was born. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The bread from heaven. Life. The angel said to Mary, "That holy thing is the Son of God." They didn't know what to call it. As John in his epistle and his gospel said, "That which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which our hands have handled, we've looked upon, gazed upon, the Word of life." That is so mysterious, so amazing, so glorious, white, pure, holy, spotless, the Son of God, round, complete, perfect, no beginning or end, bread from heaven, life. He that hath the Son, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after Christ. You have life. You have life. Is the gospel life to you? Have you eaten the gospel, taken the gospel in, the gospel of Christ crucified, and believed it to the saving of your soul? Huh? Is it sweet to you? Numbers 21. Look at this. Verse 4. Numbers 21. And they journeyed from Mount Hor, by the way, to compass the land of Eden. And their soul, the people, was much discouraged by the way. And we go through this wilderness and are much discouraged at times. The people spake against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread." No bread. They had bread. What they were saying was, well, look at it. "Neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." We're so tired of this manna. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. When it first came, they were all beside themselves. They said, "This is the most glorious, wonderful thing, undeserved." We murmured, and God sent us bread from heaven, and we murmured against Him. "Hey, you've been so gracious and merciful, and this is sweet to our taste. This is wonderful. This is the most wonderful food we've ever tasted." They couldn't get enough of it. They wanted to get more. They said, "No, you need to gather every day." And it was just filling. They fulfilled. They were satisfied with it. And now after 40 years, they said, "We don't want this anymore." Just like the people in John 6. They went away. The Lord kept saying, "I'm the bread." Said, "You come to me though because your belly is your God is your belly. He wants your belly filled." Paul said this, and I going by the Catholic building, and I was looking out my window this morning where I study up in the attic, and my neighbors all still there. It's nothing to them, and honestly, my heart went out to them, thinking they have no hunger. They don't need Christ. Paul said, "I say, even weeping, that their God is their belly." Oh, my. So the Lord sent fiery serpents. My, my. All right, here's the moral of the story, if you haven't already heard it, seen it. Light bread? Is this a light thing? Or is the gospel a heavy burden? A light thing? They said, "This no longer satisfies us. This no longer fills us. This no longer sweet to us. We need something more." Whew. This proves. Did anybody find that verse? Verse 4 of Exodus 16. That's what it said. The Lord said, "I did this to prove you. I'm sending this bread to prove you." Yeah, that's it. "I may prove you whether you believe me or not." Well, they said, many of them said, this no longer satisfies us. This no longer fills us. This is no longer sweet to us. We're no longer amazed by this. You see what's going on here? Oh, dear. Anyone who wants and needs anything other than Christ hath not life. That's what our Lord said. I mean, lustful. Anyone who's not satisfied with the gospel and wants something other than, in addition to it, but something more than, doesn't have life. Christ is life. Anyone who's not filled with wonder, filled with wonder and amazement, filled with love and praise, anyone who's no longer amazed by this bread from heaven, anyone who's no longer filled with wonder and amazement, those words like mercy and love and grace and pardon and peace and justification and say are no longer sweet to them, then they have life. This proves so our Lord said back in our text, He said, I'm the bread of God, which giveth life to the world. I'm the bread of God. But He said to many, you believe not. You believe not because it's not me you want. Oh my, here's great comfort, people. If you can say from your heart that you want and need the Lord Jesus Christ, you desire Him, you need Him, that you need the gospel, that you need to hear, that the gospel is indeed sweet to you, that you find all you need in the gospel. You don't need anything else. You don't really need anything else. That your desire, your heartfelt desire, like Paul said, oh, that I might know Him. Oh, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. Can you say that? Oh, there's great comfort if the gospel satisfies you. If you're satisfied. If you keep coming. If you keep coming. Those people were tired of going out and gathering this manna. If you keep coming and gathering, because it's something you need. And it's not light to you. Oh, it's a wonderful burden. You must have it. You must have life. You must have life. If that's said, you must have life. You must be chosen. If you can say like Simon Peter, we believe. No, he said, I'm sure. That thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. To whom shall we go? Where shall we go? We're not going anywhere. You're our life. If you can say that, then Christ says to you, I've chosen you. I've chosen you. This bread proves it. I still love bread today more than the day first time I started eating. I eat bread with every meal. I do. When Mindy and I first got married, she fixed a meal and there was no bread. My mother always fixed bread with every meal. Cornbread, biscuits, toast, something. And Mindy didn't fix any bread and I ate it. And how was it? Good, good. Next meal, no bread. How was it? It's good. Until finally I said, honey, I gotta have some bread. And to this day, I eat bread with every meal. I know, gluten and all that. I know. But what I'm saying here, this is an illustration of someone who first really hungers and thirsts at the Lord Jesus Christ and lays hold of Him and eats Him like a cup of health and finds Him sweet to their taste and all their need, and it fills their longing, fills their soul with love, and they will hunger after Him to the day they die. That's life. It proves it. You can die in the faith. If you can die loving this gospel and not wanting anything else, and we're not going, Peter said, anywhere. You have life. It proves it. Okay.